Welcome to the Abracadam podcast, and I'm your host, stand-up comedy magician Danny Whitson. I hope everybody is doing okay this holiday season. I know it's not a normal one, but you know, let's just all do the best we can. Happy Hanukkah to all my Jewish friends out there. Same out to you guys. I hope you're hanging in there. I know there's no way I would have made it this far this year if it weren't for my friends and family. I tell you what, I'm going to go ahead and just lump them all in the same group because, hey, my friends are my family too. But when you think about it, what defines family? Well, it definitely ain't defined in a book, and it definitely ain't defined by some law. My two guests I got for this episode, I feel like are pioneers. They're trailblazers. They're doing something that should have been done a long time ago. They are representing the future for humanity, and it means a lot to me. It really hits home with me. Today's guests, we have Joey Mullins and Justin Young. They're two gay married men, and also they are parents raising their son Cannon. So sit back, relax, and listen to my conversation with Joey Mullins and Justin Young.
We got Joey Mullins and Justin Young here with us today. How you guys doing?
We're doing good.
Doing good.
All right. Well, since I've already said your names, but I give you a chance, let's hear. You guys are a gay married couple here living in East Tennessee and with raising one child, one son, correct? Yes. Okay. I tell you what, if you guys don't mind, well, let's just do this since I did already kind of introduce you. And but I tell you what, for everyone listening, how long have you guys been married? And let's go ahead and hear how'd you guys meet?
Yeah, we've been married for 5 years, but we've been together really 8 years. We dated for 4 years before it was legal to get married, actually. So once that was legal, we signed those papers, and here we are. And then we're raising a 12-year-old son, Cannon.
That's awesome. Okay, so now, where did you guys go to tie the loop at?
So we actually, we had a friend become ordained, and we live in the historic area of downtown Knoxville, so we actually used our backyard and home for our wedding venue.
That is awesome, man. That is super, super awesome. And that's been 5 years now.
Yeah, October 17th of 2015.
Okay, now, who proposed to who? Unless
that was me.
I proposed to
me. Yeah. It was actually, we were long distance for the first year of our relationship because I was living in Chattanooga. And Joey was here. So he'd come down to Chattanooga one weekend, and I decided I was going to propose that weekend, and he had sat down in the recliner in my apartment and asked for a little snack, and I had given him a little handful of baby carrots. And while he was eating, I came around the corner with a ring and said, "Will you spend the rest of your life with me?"
Now, I got to ask you, Justin, was the ring on one of the baby carrots, or?
It was not. It was not on one of the baby carrots, but that was a great idea.
That's awesome. And so, Justin, you're originally from Chattanooga, correct?
No, I'm from Sparta, Tennessee. I lived in Chattanooga for about 6 years. I worked there.
That's Sparta. You know what's crazy is I'm actually doing a show in Sparta the day after Christmas, a live show at Happy Charles Brewery.
In Sparta on my birthday.
Now, your birthday's the day after Christmas.
It is.
Oh, gosh, dude. I thought mine was bad. That's a bummer, bro. Well, get it for your birthday.
Yep.
You know, that was the always mine's the 3rd of January, and it was like, just wait till your birthday, why so you can forget then too. Now, Joey, now where are you from exactly?
I am originally from a little town in Southwest Virginia called Clintwood, which is in what I call regular Virginia. Being in Southwest Virginia is regular Virginia, not actual West Virginia, but it's on the Kentucky border.
Okay. Okay. And regular Virginia, that's yeah. Funny. West Virginia, you know, I've never been to West Virginia. I've never been.
It's beautiful there.
Yeah, that's what it's a lot of hills. You know, it's from what I've always heard. I've heard it's fantastic, beautiful. But it doesn't strike me a place where there's a lot of gay folk.
No, not at all.
We're not openly gay folk. Let's just be honest. Not a lot of openly gay folk.
And absolutely.
And I wonder about what about with Sparta? Same thing. Not a lot of openly gay folk, are there?
Yeah, definitely not. Definitely not. It's a small town in Tennessee too, so. Definitely not.
You know, I've done a lot of thinking about it, you know, since, like I said, I've got a gay son and who's always been gay, you know, like I had people ask me, it's like, so when did you know? And I was like, well, you know, I can remember, I remember watching him in baseball. And like when he would run the bases, and I'm not saying gay guys can't play baseball. I'm not saying that. But every little boy, straight or gay, when they're little, they got the gay arm that sticks straight out. You know what I mean? When they run the bases. And normally, if you're straight, eventually that'll go away. Well, Brennan's never went away. It just stayed straight. So we always knew. When he came out to us, it was just like, huh. Yeah, we knew, but
yeah.
And you know, we also always had a rule at our house that if Brennan had any friends who couldn't be themselves at their house, they could come to our house and be themselves.
That's so important.
But you know, this is the other thing is, you know, like I see what you guys are doing, and I think you guys are a fantastic, great example of. Instead of being a gay couple, a gay married couple, you're setting an example of just, we're a married couple.
Yeah.
We're parents.
Yeah. You know?
And to me, that means so much to me, you know, just for the future of my son, you know, so.
It is not. I always have issue whenever people refer to Justin as my partner. I know that was the term that we used for a very long time, but beginning with Stonewall, we fought like hell to be able to, you know, have equal rights. And he's my husband. He's not my partner. This isn't a Western movie. Like, he's my husband. So that is important.
Now, okay, so let's bring this up because we are in East Tennessee, and this is the Bible Belt, you know, part of the Bible Belt. And now, not only are you guys, you know, a gay couple, but you're also a biracial couple.
Right.
So there has to be a few obstacles that is, you know, that come y'all's way. I would love to hear, you know, which one is more difficult, do you find, or is it just one big old both wadded up together?
I think it depends on which group you ask. So, fortunately for Justin, and I'll speak for him, his family obviously had a little bit more of an issue with the fact that we were gay than anything. However, on my side of the family, it was an issue with Justin being Black and us being gay. And it was kind of a toss-up on which was worse. And it, awkwardly enough, I think that my family came to terms with it being a gay relationship before they did with it being a biracial relationship. And here's the kicker with that. So my dad is Hispanic and my mom is Caucasian. However, because my dad is the type of Hispanic that looks and presents, I guess, as white, you know, he never saw that as an issue. And so that's super interesting. I don't know what you think about which is a bigger obstacle.
Definitely from my angle, it was just the being gay in general. There's never been anything that's on like, biracial, interracial relationships in my family. That's not uncommon. So it was definitely being an openly gay black man.
And Justin, based on kind of my observation, you know, now this is, I'm not vocal about this, but I have seen a lot of homophobia in the black community with black, you know, towards gay black men. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm like, oh, it's hard enough, you know, to be a minority. And then on top of it, you tack that on top of it. So that would have to be difficult. Now, like I said, that's just based off my experience from what I've witnessed and saw. I don't, you know, like I said, it doesn't speak for everybody, but it is what I, you know. And then with Joey, I mean, your story is pretty interesting as well, you know. What is some of the most dumbest and outrageous, ignorant things people have asked you guys, being a gay couple?
From the standpoint of that, I think something that's come up probably more than anything else is I've been asked before if my son Cannon is 12, and been asked before, what would I do if he turned out straight? And I find that so weird that people would assume that because we're gay men that our son is by default going to be gay. It's kind of weird. I knew and identified in myself at the time I was 5 years old that I was gay. I knew the whole time. And I don't care if Cannon ends up gay or straight. Quite frankly, the world is built for Cannon is white, and the world is built, sadly, for white men. So especially those who are straight. So I hope to a certain extent he's straight because his life will be a lot easier. But I also think that we've been the kind of family that has set an example that he don't ever have to come out. If he turns out to be gay, he's gay. There's no coming out. It's who you are. So we've been asked that a whole lot. There were a lot of questions before we got married of, you know, how that would work. Is Justin going to adopt Cannon? Whose last name is going to change? Things like that. We each kept our last name. We didn't feel the need to combine them. I'm not defined by his. He's not defined by mine. What things have you been asked?
I haven't really been asked a lot of crazy things by people. I think my friends know better, maybe. I don't know. To ask me something ignorant. But, there's always those people who want to ask, like, who's the man and who's the woman, or those kind of things, and that doesn't really define a relationship, I mean, at all.
It's funny how, I mean, what people do have, you know, I don't know, it's especially I think when it comes to, with children, or they think, I can't imagine. No one has said things like this in front of me, but I have heard people say, oh, I don't know what I would do if I had a gay son, or if I had, you know, and the simplest answer is, well, I hope you would love him.
I think if you can ask yourself that question, you're probably not ready to have a child or shouldn't have one.
You've got problems. You've got issues. Yeah. And you know, the thing is I wouldn't change a hair on my son's head. I wouldn't change not a thing about him. I will say this, you guys have a child, so you know how you worry about your child. You worry about things in this world.
Yeah.
Now make them gay. Right. Oh, now you're really going to worry. Exactly. You know, there's an extra worry. Right. I worry about him, and there's things that I worry about constantly, you know. So there's that added worry in the world that we live in. But the So, I mean, now, with your son, his friends come over and they see that he's got two dads?
So, it's interesting that you're asking that. Cannon's close friends know that he has two dads, and it's not an issue. So there's that. However, there is a weird stigma that puts us, I think, in weird positions. Cannon plays baseball. Cannon plays hockey and basketball and all the things. He's very athletic. And we always do attend those games. I will say it's been kind of challenging because where he plays, is in a more discriminate part of Knoxville, and both towards homosexuals and you know, people of color. So that's rough, but I mean, you know, Justin is a 5'11", you know, well-built person. I'm 6'2", and I'm a big guy, and I'm tattooed from my collarbones down. So most people aren't brave enough to chance it, to say anything. But it does put us in a weird position sometimes, because I know what it was like to go through elementary school and middle school and high school and be bullied constantly, you know. And the funny thing is, that wasn't even for being gay. That was just for being fat. So that sucks. But I have to question sometimes with Cannon, you know, I leave it to his discretion whether or not to tell people. And I realize that if he is open and honest about it, and he was more so in elementary school, but now he's in sixth grade, he's subject to bullying because of that. And so it's a weird line where it hurts my heart for him to not be fully open and who he is for fear of him getting bullied. But then on the flip side of that, it hurts my heart whenever he doesn't wear our family with pride. But I understand it. And it's hard because, like you said, we're in the Bible Belt. And, you know, unfortunately, in the location where we are, you could be ridiculed over, you know, your parents being gay or your parents being biracial or fat or anything, their employment status, where they live. You can get attacked from all angles. And I think whenever I was growing up, I thank God we didn't have the internet, because I got bullied plenty at school. And, you know, now he's able to get bullied at school, at the ball field, via internet. And so it is, it's something that we walk a fine line with, and kind of leave it up to him on what his comfort level is. But that doesn't mean that we don't go to Pride every year and Cannon waves his little rainbow flag. And we love Pride, especially in Knoxville, because it gives our child a chance to see other children who have the same family dynamic, and it normalizes it a little bit. So that is something I've been super thankful for, and we hate that COVID shut down this year.
Yeah, we really enjoy going to Pride. We've went the past few years, and you know, I love the one in Knoxville. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, it is great.
It was so cool. The first time I ever went, I didn't know what to expect, and I went down. Damn, this is great. This is it fun, is. Man. Yeah. The best corn dog ever had in my life. Hey, and you know, let me go back and back up something too, man, because you know, there's the gay stereotypes that gay guys are pushovers. Well, man, I'm gonna tell you right now, bro, there's some gay guys that'll whoop that ace.
Absolutely.
So they you know, I mean, you gay men, but you're still men. You're still dudes. So you know,
it's funny you say that, because I don't think Justin and I, based upon appearance or who we are, present as gay. It's usually shocking for people to find out. You know, I grew up, I'll say Justin was a little bit more gay in his growing up than I was. You know, I lived on a farm, I hunted, I fished, did everything. I boxed. That was one of the things I loved in college, intramurally, and then in high school as well. So, you know, it is. There's so many different facets to who we are, and stereotypes, to a certain extent, are usually true, but not always. And I think we break that mold.
You know, that's super interesting, because I'm interested in doing some hunting. I've never hunted before. My best friend's really big into hunting, and, you know, me and him, I've talked about going with him. Now, I love boxing. We love boxing. And you know what, I think realistically, and you guys know this too. I think, you know, so many times they try to make sexuality, it's either this or it's either that. And sexuality, there's so much gray area, There's probably a ton of people that are gay or not fully straight, that, you know, there's probably boxers, there's football players, you know, there's a lot of those guys out there. And it's, you know, hopefully one day we'll stop making everything black and white and, you know, start looking at what it is. Well, I'll tell you what, let's just go ahead and get this out the way, man.
Okay.
All right, Justin, man, we're going to do a magic trick, bro. All right. This is called the Abracadam Podcast for a reason. So we're going to try to do, and this is over Zoom. Okay. Now the listeners, you guys can't see what's going on right now. Okay. But what I'm doing is I'm holding up a card to the camera, and Justin is going to tell me what this card is. Now keep them, bro. All the pressure's on you, man. All right. Well, here we go.
I feel it. I get nervous, maybe.
All right. Just take the first thing that pops in your head. Here we go, bro. What do you got?
Five of diamonds.
That was amazing.
Zingly wrong or?
No, not you. I was talking to my cat. She just did. This was a. Ta-da-da!
Ooh.
Remember, they can't see us, Justin. Ta-da-da!
Yes. I can't believe I won. What do I win?
Incredible.
Amazing. There we go. Wow. How did he do that? He said the five of diamonds. It's just weird. It looks like the ace of clubs, but if you just you do that, it'll turn to the five of diamonds. All right, that was dumb. But hey, it's fun. It's fun. I tell you, you know, man, for me, now here, let me see something real quick. I've done, look, Joey. Joey's, let me see you, bro. Get over here real quick, Justin. Oh, I got to check you out there, handsome.
I don't know about all that. I'm wearing a highlighter, yellow.
I was talking the other day. I was like, you know, the thing with me is having a gay son and my wife. One thing I've noticed that has changed me is I notice eyebrows now. Hey, I'm going to tell y'all right now, my boy's eyebrows are on point, y'all. I mean, his eyebrows are on good. It's crazy because I'll be out with one of my buddies. He's like, hey, man, look at the pair on her. And I'm like, yep, she should probably pluck them. that's how I am. So I'm programmed that way now. So I'm always picking eyebrows. But another stereotype that Joey just shatters. Joey's like, you know, my eyebrows are not out.
No, it's a mess.
So, well, I tell you what, I want to hear a funny story. Let me hear a funny gay married guy blooper story.
Okay. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
So one of the things that you should know about me and Justin is that we are polar opposites. I mean, in pretty much every way, obviously by appearance, but, Justin is super calm and cool and collected, always. Like, it's nothing bothers him. And I'm very much so a fight or flight type person. And I'm up for doing either. But, you know, I mean, I decide and do it. One of the things that Justin and I love to do is we love to travel. And we've traveled to five different countries at this point. It's been incredible. We live very modestly so we can travel well. And we were actually in Paris, France, in the catacombs.
Exactly where I thought you were going.
Yeah, in the catacombs. And if you aren't familiar with what the catacombs in Paris, France are, Google it. But in short, it's a mass burial ground where thousands upon thousands of skeletal remains are arranged in a way that create a tunnel underground under the streets of Paris. It's really incredible and heavy. So we get there and we're down in, you know, and you're supposed to be quiet, not, and you want to be, because like you're surrounded by literal skeletal remains. There are walls and the area where the children are, like the skulls are shaped into hearts, and it's just it's very heavy. However, right in the middle of the catacombs there's a little pond, and they keep three goldfish in it because they want to make sure that the water quality is suitable. And, you know, the remains, I guess, aren't getting into the water stream. And I was about five steps ahead of Justin in the catacombs in Paris whenever he did something that he does at least four times a week, which is completely wipe out and fall and destroy anything and everything in the way of him. So as I saw him crashing down the stairs into the infant wall where all of the infant skulls were buried and slam into the wall, which is a federal offense in Paris. And if you've ever been to Paris, you know that their cops are militia guards who literally carry machine guns. So I that was the day I ran a mile, and I'm a big guy, Danny. I don't run. I ran a mile just in sheer panic because I chose flight over fight. And I left Justin in the catacombs of Paris by himself in the floor, surrounded by baby skulls.
They didn't crash down. I won't say they weren't close. But, yeah.
So were you drunk, Justin? You just fell.
We were high on life.
Exactly. No, I'm just that clumsy. The steps were a little wet from the water, and my foot just went out from under me, and down I went.
Yeah.
That had to have been an awesome trip, though, an awesome experience.
Yeah. We were fortunate enough to get to spend a good amount of time in Dublin, Ireland, and then we went to London, England, where we then went to Paris, France. We were able in London. We got to do so many incredible things. It was both of our first times traveling internationally, and you know, there's a whole story I'll save for another time about Justin literally getting stuck in a mirror maze and not being able, and this man who is so incredibly intelligent, but he couldn't get out of the mirror maze. And that was a whole lot to deal with.
Now, I've been in one of those, and that makes me sick.
There's a video. We'll hyperlink it.
I'm going to say there's definitely a video of that incident.
But no, one of the things that was really cool, though, for us, I think, about traveling internationally and especially in those areas are that it's totally okay for grown men to hold hands and act like they give a shit about each other in public. So we were free to be our true authentic selves. And, you know, we're not the typical gay. We don't do really the club. I mean, we enjoy a drag queen occasionally. However, we're not, you know, crazy. But in London, we were able to see a stage show that was actually called Hokum Pokum, which was the drag queen version of Hocus Pocus. And it starred several of the girls from RuPaul's Drag Race. And so we were able to, you know, participate in some little fun gay activities there.
You know, speaking of a drag show, the first one, now I perform on variety shows where there'll be some drag queens and, you know, mm-hmm. a little bit of everything. So, you know, now I've seen a ton. I can remember the first one I ever saw that had me a little confused. And I mean confused, I mean a little like, well, yeah. You maybe, you know.
Yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah.
It was at Pride, and it was that she was doing like the Britney Spears thing. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. What is the one from RuPaul's Drag Race?
I think it's, is it Derek?
Derek Barry.
Yes!
Yeah.
Man, now. All right, so.
Yeah.
I mean, I was sitting there looking at that, and I was like, doggone. I don't know. I got to go talk to myself a little while. What's going on? But some of them are fantastic. They really, just like any other entertainment art, yeah. You know, it's great.
It's art. Yeah, I mean, I can imagine. It's art.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's totally art. So, I mean, it's great. And, you know, I've got to work with a lot of great acts on some of the variety shows, you know, that I've done. Well, I tell you what, now, back to what, because I wanted to bring, because you had brought up the way you, like, you hunt and you do some of these things. Is that something that you still try to do now? Do some of these things, or...
Yeah, I personally really enjoy fishing whenever we have the opportunity. Justin works in TV and I work in healthcare with a pretty large healthcare system in Chicago. So we don't have as much time as what we used to. And of course, COVID really put a huge damper on that. But we both really enjoy fishing. I grew up hunting. I lived in a pretty remote area. So anything we ate, we either had from our garden or from, you know, hunting. So it was deer, it was bear, it was turtle, it was super hillbilly-ish type stuff, Danny. And, but, you know, it definitely made me have an appreciation. And Justin has recently started the process of learning how to hunt with my dad. And that's something that they're going to enjoy doing together as well.
That's awesome, man. Now, do you guys know any other married couple? I mean, married gay couples?
You know, it's really, really interesting. I find at least, and I think it's probably safe to say this, it's this way everywhere, but there are different groupings of gay people, I would say, in Knoxville. So we unfortunately don't really fit into any of those molds. We do know a few lesbian couples who are, you know, married and have families like we do, but we don't know any other gay men in our area that are in the same boat as us. We do know some from different states and stuff, but nobody locally whatsoever.
Okay. You know, actually, you know, I was trying to think now, it's, I don't know a whole bunch, but I didn't know if, like, you know how some groups will create, like, you know, like Filipinos got their own Filipinos in Tennessee Christmas party every year. I didn't know if there was something for, like, gay married men. You know,
there are several things. There's the Knoxville Gay Men's Chorus that you can do.
Yes, yes.
Justin is a singer. I'm not, so that's very much him.
Oh. But
we also, fun fact, we joined the Knoxville Gay Men softball team a couple of years ago. So we got to know a lot of other, a lot of the gay people from the community, but unfortunately, we were the only dads there. I mean, well, Danny, there were several daddies, but we were the only, you know, real dads there. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, this is the first time I've ever heard about this. So
yeah.
Okay. So there's a. So do you guys play against other gay dudes, or do you?
Yeah. There's
a small league here.
They play. Yeah, there's another in Atlanta. Like, they're all over the United States. Like, different cities have leagues and. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Knoxville usually does pretty well too, as far as the United States standings go.
I think that's awesome, you know. And maybe a good way to get, like, bonehead dudes to support gay guys that way, you know.
Yeah.
Our gays are gonna kick your gays' asses tonight.
and you know, the thing that's interesting is I don't know that I think it would open up a lot of eyes, because a lot of the men that played on the team, I mean, we had a few who were, you know, super effeminate, but the majority of them, you wouldn't know unless you were at a gay baseball game.
Well, you know, like I said, you know, I totally look at sexuality for what it really is. And, you know, you always hear these rumors in Hollywood about, I don't know if you guys heard the last one, Marlon Brando, you know, he was gay. Sorry. There's even a rumor that Marlon Brando and Richard Pryor, you know, used to get it on.
That's hot, Danny.
Yeah. Well, Marlon Brando's a good-looking dude, you know, and Richard Pryor, the king. So, hey, can't go wrong.
Yeah.
But you look at these guys and, you know, they came off as macho. Well, Marlon Brando, you know, ladies man, macho man kind of thing. And, I mean, I just think a lot of that is a stereotype, you know, and it's, you know. Not completely true. Of course, you're going to meet there's going to be the gay guys that are the feminine type. And then, but hey, like I said, there's some gay dudes out there that, you know, macho men, you know. But I would like to go to a gay softball game. I would like this is cool. I'd like to go to it.
Good time until you sprain your foot and can't play anymore.
Again with the falling, Danny. Again with the falling.
So it's, but to me, I mean, it's, just another softball game, I would assume.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You
know, where guys ain't full of crap. So, I suck at softball, by the way. I'm horrible. I never could get into softball. I liked basketball, but I'm short. So, you know, didn't always work out either. But, so which one is the better athlete?
I think it depends. So Justin was a competitive cheerleader in college. And then I, on the flip side, like I said, I did some boxing and I played other intramural stuff. But I think whenever it comes to anything that involves like flexibility and endurance, it's him.
Yeah.
But if it comes to like maybe upper body strength and, you know, and an incredibly strong will, then it would be me.
Okay. Yeah. Incredibly. Now, you know, you talked about you guys being so polar, you know, totally different. You know, and I mentioned my two dads, and I was like, Justin's Paul Reiser, and you're the other dude. I can totally see you being the other dude. So, and, you know, that show was ahead of its time, right?
Absolutely.
And what was the deal with The Odd Couple? They were totally gay. They just didn't ever come out with it, right? They never did.
Exactly.
But they were totally gay. You know that it was totally gay. You know. Yeah.
It is cool, though, too, to kind of, like, bring it back around to, like, when it, growing up for me, and I'm sure Justin could say the same, and you probably could, too, there was no gay representation on TV that wasn't horribly negative. You know, there were no things on TGIF, no gay characters, anything like that. I think now, like, whenever I watch TV with Cannon and some of the younger things, they have openly gay characters. They have, you know, same-sex parents, Disney, Pixar, Nickelodeon. I mean, it's incredible. And I love that because, again, it normalizes things for him.
And you know what I wouldn't have thought in a million years, you know, just back in the 90s, I wouldn't even have thought this, a million years, that you can see commercials now of two gay men.
Yeah,
holding hands or two gay men maybe kissing or something. You would have never have thought that would ever be possible. So in so many ways, first of all, I'm so glad like my son's living now, you know, have experienced times like that. Like I said, of course, you're going to have those idiot, ignorant dinosaurs that are never going to evolve their way of thinking. And speaking of which, we do know we've got some of those people in office representing our state. Now is your son's adopted, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, on a whole nother level is super awesome for any parents, gay, straight, whatever, adopting a child is super special. And it takes a special soul, you know, some people to do that. Thank God we got people like you guys.
Thank you. Know,
gay, straight, whatever. But right now we've got some static that's coming down on gay parents for adopting children. Absolutely. Tell me about that, Joey.
So I adopted Cannon myself from the foster care program. I had a few other foster kids come through and, you know, ultimately be reunited with their families, which is great. But I adopted Cannon, with myself. And so I met Justin whenever Cannon was 4, and that's how he came into the picture. But we, you know, ultimately adopted Cannon through the foster care program. That's still a very viable option for lesbians and gay men and even transgendered people within the area. You know, there's such a shortage in foster homes that they can't really turn away those families. I hate to think that it would be true that if there were more than enough foster homes that they could turn them away, though, because with the adoption agencies all over the state of Tennessee, within the last year, there's been a bill passed that legalizes their ability to discriminate based upon sexuality. So essentially, you might have one group, I guess, let's say in Memphis, an adoption agency that's totally, you know, up for it and okay with it. And that's great. But, you know, one here in Knoxville in particular that I know of does not allow gay couples to even start the process of adoption, which is an incredibly sad, outdated thought process. And it truly makes me sad after everything that we've accomplished as a group of people, you know, with gay marriage being legalized and more options for transgender people, that specific states still have the abilities to I guess you could say, hold us down. You know, these laws are not a thing in New York or California or Florida or Texas. It's not even heard of that you would discriminate against gay people. But unfortunately, it was passed in Tennessee that you as an adoption agency absolutely have the right to refuse service to or discriminate. And for the record, like, and this is a weird tie-in, but Justin and I are not really the kind of people that care and think that, you know, like the whole wedding thing, you know, a baker doesn't have to make a cake for a gay couple. That's fine. Like, why would you want them to anyway? That kind of, you know, small level intangible stuff, we really couldn't give a care about. However, whenever it comes to children like my son, who had I not been there to adopt him. And mind you, when I did adopt him, he was addicted to over 8 drugs. He was a crack and heroin baby. It was the most trying, exhausting process. I got him when he was a day old, to get him to 7 months. It was a nightmare. And had I not been there to answer the call that I would take him, they would have just kept him in the hospital. His mom literally chucked him out into a park after she delivered him in Kingston, Tennessee. And he was found. And, you know, and that's how ultimately he came to me. If it weren't for a gay person's ability to adopt, then where would he be? It's not okay. And it's not something that we should stand for.
And you know, I don't understand the rationality, the logic in what they're trying to do by them saying no to two human beings who could provide love for a child. Yeah. And like I said, you know, I mean, you guys are a fantastic example of that. And thank God that you were able to, you know, come in his life and help him, you know, because what kind of life that he may have wound up having if it wasn't for you know. So,
but I mean, on the same token, it saved us too. I thought specifically me, and then maybe even Justin whenever he met him, because I did grow up thinking I always knew I wanted to be a dad, even from a young age. I knew this about myself. I never thought it would be an option. I mean, where I'm from, gay men get an apartment on the other side of town and never go anywhere or do anything because they're not allowed to. And I really thought that was my only option, but I broke the mold. And I mean, these were not only things that I observed, but that I was told. So I broke the mold and, you know, I hate that it took me until I was 30 years old to come out. But whenever I came out, I busted out and I started advocating because I don't want anybody else to have to do that.
You know, and that's something I didn't bring up. I didn't know you were 30 before you'd come out.
Yeah.
Now with Justin, do you feel like sharing how old were you when you came out?
Oh, I was right around 28, 29, honestly, when we met. Yeah. So I was kind of.
So both of you guys were fresh out. And bam. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. About a couple of years for me. Yeah.
Now, okay. Now, this is something interesting, and I do want y'all's opinion on this, because this is, I do see this, but it's also very sensitive, and I believe you got to be very careful with this. Okay. Like, there was no doubt my son was gay. We knew it. It was no shocker, no surprise. We were just waiting on him to tell us when he felt comfortable to tell us.
Sure.
But now this generation's a little different. This generation is different than what our generation was.
Absolutely.
Almost there is, from what I'm hearing, there's a group of children that are almost, it's almost to where being gay is a fad, or being lesbian is a fad, or being bi is a fad. And they may not actually be that. It may be that, well, I like this group, so, you know, I don't know. I mean, what's y'all's opinion on that? Do you think, because also I'm 100% against if a kid says, hey, I'm gay. No, you're not, you know. Well, you don't know that, you know. But I know, I can remember figuring out I liked women. I remember being a kid, I'll never forget this. I'll be in a kid on the couch with my cousin. My cousin's on one end and I'm on the other end, and we're supposed to be asleep. And my parents are watching The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. And I remember seeing boobies at 5, you know, I got one eye open and I see boobies and I'm like, I like that, you know? So, and I was super young. So, I wonder how would that, what do you think would be a good way to handle that? If the kid, if it's a fad, or if they actually really are gay or bi, what do you think?
Well, I'll say I knew from the time I was in like fifth grade that I was gay. It wasn't a question to me, like that's just what it was. I remember having my first boy crush, but there were no avenues to explore that or to be open about that for me. So I think, you know, maybe it is a fad right now, but at least kids have opportunities to explore and to figure out at a younger age. They don't have to wait till they're, you know, older to be open and out about who they are. And even if they say, you know, I'm coming out as gay, and maybe they're not gay or end up not being gay, like, that's okay. I mean, yeah.
Absolutely.
I think that there's no reason to even react to it. I mean, yeah, I think that you, if you're doing the right thing, you're just letting them know that no matter what they decide, that there's going to be love there. It doesn't matter at all. And, you know, I mean, putting any kind of negative connotation on it, like, well, are you sure? I mean, that's not going to help anybody, because that immediately makes you withdraw it deeper.
You know, and I couldn't agree 100% more. You know, because it's say they're not gay and they're like, Dad, I think I'm gay. All right. You know, well, if you are, it'll come out, you know, sooner or later. If you're not, you'll see boobies in the best little whorehouse in Texas and it'll come out again.
Right. You know? So, I've always told Cannon, ultimately, we never really put gender roles on anything. So ultimately what I say to him is, you know, whenever you get older and you know, feel like you want to love somebody, just make sure that they're a good person and B, someone who, you know, you can be proud of. I never say when you meet her or him or anything, just when you meet your person, you'll know. I mean, you will know.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's, you know, I agree 100% with that. And, you know, I've just seen some, you know, parents, I've heard some comments and stuff made, and I've always kind of been, you know, whoop-de-doo, you know, if they are, they are, if they're not, they're not, it's okay. Yeah. I think slowly we're getting there, slowly. Yeah. That's one thing if I could, now, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of thing about, you know, these Gen Zs that I don't get, and I'm trying not to be absolutely. That old man that I'm like, good, you know, but
yeah,
they, one thing they do have is progressively they're getting better. They're going to make society better on a lot of things one day.
I agree. And back to the whole office thing, you know, it's whenever I see the fact that we're entering an area where a biracial woman is going to be in office, that's incredible. And, you know, Joe Biden is Joe Biden. And I think that his progressive thinking is wonderful, too. I can see both sides, and we don't label ourselves Democrat or Republican or anything like that. But I think that we have really good stuff to look forward to.
Now, let me ask you, because I mean, we had a possibility for a minute that we was going to have a gay president, maybe.
Yep, exactly.
I don't know if America's ready for that yet. You know, to make that leap. Now, I would love to see it. I think it would be awesome. Moving.
The only problem with that statement, Danny, is that it wouldn't have been the first gay president. Historical fact is, you know, that there were a number of presidents who kept gentlemen in their beds. So he wouldn't have been the first. He would have maybe been the first open.
Gotcha. Maybe. Gotcha. Yeah. You're right. You are right. But now here's the thing, though. So do you think it was, and I don't care to even throw it out here, do you think Abe Lincoln may have been gay?
I mean, he had a pretty big top hat. I think it was interesting to me because whenever I looked at the candidates, it never even registered to me. I didn't even think about the fact that Buttigieg was a gay man. I thought, wow, what an incredibly young, super intelligent man.
Absolutely.
Who has a record of success, albeit on a smaller scale, but I hope that he does eventually run again. I think it would be incredible.
I think that'd be great too. Yeah. Really. Okay, so let me ask you this. Let's see. Let's get another a political question here.
Okay.
Here we go. Let's. I got to think deep here. I got to think deep here. Oh, actually, you know, not even that. What? Let's go. Do you think we will ever see a gay magician president. Do you ever think we'll ever see that? Somebody like Siegfried or
coming out, Danny?
I'm talking about the guys with the tigers.
Anything's possible. If you would have told me in January of 2015 that I would be able to literally marry the person I want to spend the rest of my life with that same year, I would have said you were crazy. So, you know what? A gay magician president is, I mean, definitely a possibility.
Well, there we go. We can always hope. Yeah. That's really progressiveness. That's really moving forward. That's really moving forward. Well, man, you guys have been great, man. I really appreciate you guys coming on here and talking.
Of course.
Hopefully, people listening, if anything you've ever wondered, you know, I'm assuming, you know, a gay married couple is kind of like a straight married couple. There's, you know, pretty much no difference there, you know, I mean, and, you know, and being, you know, I have been married over 20 years.
Wow.
So, and guys, I'll be honest with you, I lucked out. She, because a normal woman could not be married to me. So she's,
yeah, I just said,
she's superwoman. And, we're great for each other. You know, she was my, you know, soulmate, if you believe in soulmates. So,
yeah,
absolutely.
I do want to say one thing though. You've mentioned several times throughout this that, you know, we're a great example of, you know, of parents of a gay and stuff, and that's great. But like, I'll flip that back on you. I've only gotten to know you and your wife over the last couple of years, and seeing how open and okay that your son can be, you have no idea how important that is. I don't think you could even fathom it. It gives me hope, and it makes my heart swell to see like you just totally saying it's all good. And you don't know how mentally and several other ways you are going to help him be a better human. Yeah.
Awesome. I appreciate it. I really do.
Of course.
Well, I tell you what, I hope you guys have enjoyed coming on, and I would love to have you guys back on anytime to, cause I mean, both you guys are larger in life in a lot of ways. You know, Justin's well known locally, and Joey, trust me, Joey is a bundle of crazy stories. So once again, this has been great, and hopefully, you know, we've got some information out there for people listening who've just, you know, been curious, you know, about it, you know, so, you know, and hopefully that's, you know, ease some ignorance.
Yeah.
So, but all right, guys. Well, that pretty much does it up. And once again, thank you guys for coming on.
Thank you.
Anytime.
All right, guys. That does it for the third episode of the Abracadam podcast. I hope you guys did get out of that interview what kind of I was hoping to get out there. You know, the only thing you really need to have a family, and that's love. Also, I want to say if you're on Instagram, be sure to give me a follow at Super Magic Boy on Instagram, and I'm also on Facebook at Danny Whitson Magic and Comedy.com. Right now, we're currently just on Spotify and Podbean, but we will be on iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, and Pandora platforms here real soon. Guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode, and I'll see you next time.